Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Joining us now is a man who's been covering it to give us the inside access of what's going on in Baltimore. It's Justin Fenton from the Baltimore Sun. And Justin, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Justin, before we get to the important stuff, you need to help us. We have a question we've been fighting about all day. Are you a bar soap or body wash guy?
body wash, for sure.
Yes.
Oh, body wash is on the board. Done. Yes. Hoping for a shutout today.
Yeah. Team body wash. Thank you, sir.
Justin, obviously you were reporting late into the night from the streets of downtown Baltimore on what was going on. This has been a different sort of protest. People seem unified. There don't seem to be as many outsiders or some of these other entities that, you know, your reporting and others kind of showed were a part of what happened with Freddie Gray. Just how different did this feel to you as someone who has a unique experience covering things like this going back for years? And can you elaborate a little bit on why it was different? Because I know you've done some tremendous reporting about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what we heard from people who were at the events was that, you know, these events were youth-led. They wanted the youth to feel empowered to speak their mind and be safe. And there was an array of community leaders, some who were who organized together, some who were among their own groups, who said, you know, we are not going to let things get out of control here. What we heard from a lot of them was people saying, you know, we had bad things happen here 5 years ago, and it wasn't, you know, we don't look back on that positively. We don't want to see that happen again. And you know, don't get anybody wrong. There's still a lot of anger and frustration out there, and the protests were very much, you know, people were passionate and angry about racism and police misconduct, but they also were very cognizant of the fact that if things got out of control, they were afraid that they were going to get hurt, and they did not want to get hurt. They did not want to get arrested.
Justin, this might be a stupid question, but, you know, I've covered baseball games and football games. I've never been fearful at covering these things. To be in the middle of that, it's your job, but are you ever in fear of your safety while there?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I get to, how do I want to say this? I mean, you know, there was, I believe the story of last night was absolutely one of a peaceful protest and of community members keeping it that way. And, you know, they would see somebody in the crowd and they would identify them as either a bad actor or someone that they even just believed to be a bad actor and sort of say that, you know, you are not going to do that here. But things got tense. There was a time when things turned and it looked like it could go either way. And, you know, there was firecrackers going off. And, you know, while the community members were trying to handle the people setting off the firecrackers, people were throwing them into that, you know, at them. And I was standing there and it got pretty intense. So, yeah. But, you know, again, it doesn't sort of compare to what people on the front lines of these issues are going through. We are there to document it for everybody else.
Justin, in light of how police have been attacking journalists, there's no other verb to use, attacking journalists in some of these scenarios we've seen that have been captured by TV cameras from various media entities, and in this climate where the leader of the country has tried to make the press the enemy, did you have any more trepidation about going out there the last few days and seeing what's going on and seeing how certainly the way people talk about the media in general has denigrated from where we were 5 years ago at Freddie Gray?
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, cognizant of that. Again, I think Baltimore, I guess, has experience with this because of what happened 5 years ago. So I think that they were learning lessons from past years. And, you know, there was a potential for that. We did at certain points last night, you know, officers pointed weapons at us. I think they were the pepper bullet guns, but, you know, they did not shoot them. It usually happened when they were coming around a corner that we were taking shelter behind. And so, I mean, it's dicey, but, I want to say that they handled it well as far as journalists are concerned, definitely.
Justin Fenton joining us from the Baltimore Sun. It's Inside Access with Jason Lockenfor and Ken Wyman. Justin, how long, like, do you expect this to continue tonight? Any idea of how long this could go on for?
That's an interesting question. I think, you know, again, it's very complicated. There are a lot of different opinions about how things should be going about. You know, I need to mention that, you know, while this was a peaceful protest and there was people controlling the atmosphere, you know, there was absolutely people there who said, you know, this is ridiculous. You know, we're saying no justice, no peace. Why are we being peaceful? You know, we have to get a message across. We're angry. You know, we don't want to, you know, be peaceful. So, I mean, I you know, depending on how many people have that mindset, win the day, I think that it could continue to be a volatile situation. But I also think that people have really tried to set the tone so far. There's an event going on right now in Roland Park.
Yeah.
Decidedly different area of town, and there's hundreds of people there right now. I think that organizers were also telling people, you know, stay home and vote on Tuesday and come back on Wednesday. So I think there's going to be more events, and, you know, we'll see how they play out. But there's obviously, as we've already established, there's a different atmosphere here than other cities.
Justin, you and your colleagues at the Sun did a tremendous job sort of deconstructing the aftermath of Freddie Gray and you know, how things got so out of hand and how much of it was some of these bad actors, you know, who really aren't there for the movement but are there for you know, because they're anarchists or because they belong to some sort of lunatic fringe group. And then there was also the police element themselves of some police being involved in illegally acquiring drugs and then selling them, you know, being a part of selling them on the secondary market. When you kind of look back on all of that, I mean, do you, in your own sort of mental calculus, do you have a sense of, you know what I mean, sort of how much was this people's rage blowing over and how much of this was other people also capitalizing on what was going on around them to, you know, to sort of profit one way or another, whether through rage or through money, on their own sort of devices?
You know, I think that there, in the 5 years since the death of Freddie Gray, there's been a lot of talk of change. There are some things happening. We are under a federal consent decree. There's different, you know, policies that have been rolled out, like body cameras. But there remains, there continues to be, I mean, you know, you referenced the Gun Trace Task Force scandal, which, if, for people who don't know, was an FBI investigation that found out that there was, you know, an entire unit of officers who the police department believed to be some of their best, who were really their very worst, and were committing crimes on sometimes a near daily basis, and in some cases for years without getting checked. And for that to have happened during this period where things were supposed to get better, you know, it really makes it hard for people to believe that anything is improving, and there continue to be incidents. I think that, you know, the state legislature, you know, people talk about the mayor and the police commissioner and the city council, and that's fine, but the state legislature in Maryland controls a lot of this. The state legislature are the ones with the power to enact things like transparency and police misconduct investigations and records, things that people could see for themselves. They could see how these cases are handled, what the outcome is. But we continue to have a setup in the state where they say, just trust us, you know, it's being handled, and they cannot by law show you what they're doing about it. And, you know, I said to someone a little bit earlier, you know, the Speaker of the House said she's creating a task force. And I said, you know, you already had a task force that showed you what the problems are. It's called the Gun Trace Task Force. So, you know, I don't know. I think that people feel that. People in the city who have experiences and see it firsthand feel that. And, you know, as far as the outside agitator presence, you know, there was I don't know who was there and what their affiliations were. I know there were certainly some people who, let's say, stood out like a sore thumb.
Right.
But I don't want to say that they were aligned with a certain group because I don't know that.
Sure.
But there was some weird vibes out there, definitely.
Justin Fenton joining us from the Baltimore Sun. It's Inside Access with Jason Lockenfor and Ken Wyman. Years ago, I did a different kind of show with Ed Norris, and you may have come on it periodically to talk about what's going on in Baltimore and the issues, and it almost feels like it's gotten worse since then. How is someone who covers, how is that possible?
I think one of the most distressing things, and it's related to the gun violence issue. I mean, the gun violence, the street violence, not related to protests, just not related to police shootings. It soared, and it soared at that particular point in 2015, and has not gone down. And it is incredible and staggering what continues to happen in that regard. You know, there were 38 people killed in the month of May in Baltimore. It was the second most of any month since 2015. And, you know, there was two killed yesterday. And so, you know, when you say things are getting worse, there are reasons to feel that way. And I think that there's positive things happening, but there continue to be a lot of challenges, and it's like drinking out of a fire hose for everybody involved.
Justin, in addition to the great work that you and your colleagues are doing, you're also sort of doing it under duress. There's been furloughs, the state of independent journalism, local newspapers. It's not good in a lot of places. People fighting for their jobs, people fighting for their careers and still serving the public at the same time. I guess, how hopeful are you guys that you might be able to get different ownership or you know, maybe even local ownership to try to get out of some of the corporate situations that the paper has seemingly been in for decades now, from one owner to another? None of them seem maybe all that interested in this paper in particular. It's just sort of a cog or an asset or, you know, a line item to them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're cognizant of the fact that we're in a pandemic and that there are cuts going on and all across different industries. But, you know, we have more news to cover than ever. Yeah. We have a smaller staff than ever. You know, I don't know about the prospects of being sold. That all happens in boardrooms in other states. We, you know, the Sun Guild organized an effort called Save Our Sun and had a petition drive, and just to kind of show that there was support and that we really want local control and perhaps a different model, a nonprofit model. You know, I don't know if that would work. I think that the news models outside of, large mainstream publications are national publications continue to be in big trouble. But I feel like the best thing I can say is, you know, please support your local news. You know, there's people working very, really hard, and we don't always get it right. But we really are there to tell the truth and do the best job we can. And we admit mistakes when we make them. And, you know, I just hope that, I was furloughed last week. First night that I did coverage on Saturday, I was out there as a citizen, as an interested person, as a temporarily out of work journalist. But I knew that I had to be out there to see the story, and my colleagues do things like that too. I didn't come on here to beg for support, but
we're going to shine a light on what you guys are doing.
Yeah. And we appreciate people that do good work, but definitely, and not just saying this, but keep up the excellent work. Stay safe out there, and we appreciate your time.
Okay. Thank you very much for having me on.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.